This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. The law says we have to have car insurance, but where does it say we have to suffer the highest rate increases of any state in the U.S.? Tomorrow we talk about why insurance rates are sky high around here, and we're wondering if your plan costs too much. Call and leave a message at 404-500-9457, and then be sure to join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. for that discussion. When I say the word noir, you probably get an image in your head almost immediately. Black and white movies, fedoras, guns, dark and gritty, where crime is king and the bad guys, well, they get away with it.
See, Mr. Gitz, most people never have to face the fact. At the right time and the right place, they're capable of anything.
There have been times when I thought I only dreamed those days.
Sue came on a bus with dreams of Hollywood, and this is how they turned out.
Keep cool, Javi. I'm on your side.
And you can tell folks better how terrible sin is if you know from your own experience.
Hey, Stella! Hey, Stella!
A few moments from some iconic noir movies. There's a new book out called Atlanta Noir that collects short stories with a decidedly modern and southern edge to the genre. The book came out today, and joining us now is Tayari Jones, editor and contributing author of Atlanta Noir. Hello there.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's talk, you addressed this a little bit in your introduction. Let's talk about the different take on noir. What have you kept from the traditional noir, and what is different?
Well, when I was collecting stories for this anthology, I just said, in my view, noir, it is not cops and robbers necessarily. It doesn't have to be procedural. We don't even have to have a detective. What we need to do is to explore like the dark side of the city, a place that I wanted a story that left you uneasy about things.
It's funny because the very first story sort of addresses what you're talking about. There's no detectives. We don't even know if there's a crime. I'm trying not to do any spoilers. But it does make us uneasy about the snowstorm that occurred in Atlanta. I mean, there's definitely something that the character in this story, thought was going to be no big deal and then turned out to be quite a big deal.
And I just feel like an Atlanta snowstorm is always a big deal, right? It's 3 inches, but it feels like 3 feet. So I felt like that story was kind of showing something really specific to us in Atlanta and that kind of slightly creepy feeling.
Yeah. And that's not the only story. Again, I'm going to try really, some of these stories are quite short, so it's hard to talk about them without spoiling anything at all. But that's one of the stories where we don't, the lead character doesn't necessarily make it to safety, right? We don't get a relief at the end.
Well, noir never provides you with relief at the end. I mean, the bad guys always win. Good does not necessarily triumph over evil in noir. And I think that's why we read it, because there's a sense that you're immersing yourself in something kind of a little bit dangerous, kind of gritty, and that you're almost like putting your mind in a certain kind of danger.
Which part of noir is Southern? How does the Southern nature of these stories change the genre?
Well, in my opinion, this is why so many of the stories happen like between neighbors. Like in the traditional noir genre, a stranger comes to town and seeks help about something. But in this one, almost everyone's problem is with someone they know.
Right. There's no necessarily a mysterious figure. It's more secrets. And I was kind of surprised by the number of stories that dealt with secrets, things that people are not telling each other. Was that something you actually sought out as an editor, or did that happen organically?
No, it happened quite organically. I didn't assign the authors the kinds of stories I wanted. I gave them this broad definition. I let them choose the part of town they want to put the story in and just let them have it. But I think that we're Southerners. Secrets are what we do.
Why do you say that?
I just think if you just think about it, we are very invested in our public persona. And we believe that what happens behind closed doors should stay behind a closed door.
Business.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where some of the grittiness comes from, is that we get a peek behind the closed doors in some cases. And sometimes it's a little scary.
And, you know, and that is also part of our culture. We are aware there's a door, that it is closed, and we all want to peek behind it. We are never surprised to find out that there is a closed door, but we are often surprised at what we find behind it.
Another thing that I found sort of a common thread among many of the stories was sort of the complicated relationship with Atlanta itself, right? There were a lot of people that were either saying, I need to get out of this town for one reason or another, or people who got here and were trying to make a transition in. How did you go about organizing stories that gave a picture of the city?
Well, like I said, I asked everyone before they started writing, what part of town do you want to write about?
And geographically.
Yes. And then what do you think makes that part of town unique? Like, I wrote my story about Southwest Atlanta. I was born in Southwest Atlanta. And what I find intriguing about Southwest Atlanta is that it is a predominantly African-American, I want to say almost entirely, but area. But the diversity within that group, I mean, you have people who live in million-dollar mansions to people who live on the street, all actually inhabiting the same quadrant of the city. And I was interested in the way this bounces off one another. And that was what drove me in my story, how you have diversity amongst this group that from a glance people may not think of as diverse.
So was there a story in there that particularly surprised you when you got it back? You must have had an idea of what kind of stories you might get. Were there surprises?
I was really unsure. Writers are very unpredictable. You have no idea what they're cooking up in their minds. You think you know a person. You think they're a normal, sane, kind of chill person. And they turn in this insane story. Like the story set in Peachtree City about the girls that pick up the guy on Craigslist and all manner of things ensue. Or Sherry Joseph's story about the woman who murders her neighbor.
Yeah.
I know Sherry. She is a nice person. I looked at her like, how did you even think that up? Do we need to talk?
And her answer was?
No, I just thought it up. But I think that's the way you want to feel when you read these stories. Like, even my own story, after I finished it, I was a little startled by myself.
Did you know how your story was going to end when you began it?
Oh, I never do. I feel that, for me as a writer, what makes the story suspenseful is that I, too, am in suspense. If I know the ending, you can feel me aiming for it, and then you will know the ending. But if I don't know it, you don't know it. We just walk down that road together.
How do you create suspense? One of the things that many of these stories do really well, I'm thinking of the story where he's supposed to be trafficking guns through the airport.
Oh, yes, Dallas Hudgens' story.
Yeah. So there's this, you know, from the moment it begins that this is going to be bad. Right. And you're just waiting for what's going to happen. And I, you know, many of the stories are quite good at keeping you sort of on the edge of your seat. And I wondered, how do you do that as a writer? It's kind of simpler in a movie, right? You dim the lights, you have the spooky music coming up, you have people looking around corners. How do you do that intentionally in a story?
Well, there are several ways. Once you need to get yourself a dangerous premise. Trafficking guns, that's dangerous. You are going to disguise yourself as a prostitute to meet your mega preacher father. That's dangerous, you know, so you get the dangerous situation. But then the next thing you do is simply you can just change words to make things a little darker. So instead of saying, you know, he opened the door, if he shoves the door, it has more energy. You can take just simple words and just get a one with a little bit more oomph. And it just, all those little pieces together create this sense of dread.
Did you have to pull anybody back when you were editing? Did you have to pull anything back, or I guess pump it up?
Well, you know, I have a debut author in this collection. Her name is Alicia Parker, and she wrote the story about the woman who wants to be the first lady of Atlanta who receives a mysterious package. That story is kind of wild, but it used to be wilder. It was a little wilder. And she is a mild-mannered scientist by day who wrote this, like, totally freaky story.
Yeah. So, I mean, what did you end up liking about noir? And what were kind of its, I mean, what were its biggest challenges?
Well, I was familiar with the noir series. You know, we're finally getting ours. There are over 100 cities with the noir collection. We're just getting ours. So I was excited to put us on the map because I had read the others, and I liked the way the various authors took just hometown things and rendered them unsettling.
Yeah, they're scary.
Yes, and so I was excited. And I was excited, too, to look at Atlanta in a new way. I do feel like we're getting a weird rap on television lately.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, you know, now that we're the reality TV hub, I tell people I'm from Atlanta, and they have all these, like, they think they know what type of shoes I wear. You know, like, they think I wear $1,000 shoes. I'm like, I don't wear $1,000 shoes, but we've got this kind of reputation now in the media.
Do you mention that many of the Real Housewives of Atlanta aren't originally from
Atlanta?
Oh,
I say that all the time. I'm like, they're not even from here. But... So I felt in this that while not trying to do propaganda and create an Atlanta that where everything's great, because this is noir, nothing's great, but each one of these stories is quirky in its own way. Like, we are reinventing the idea of what all Atlanta is.
What is the difference between writing, what's the different challenge between writing a short story like this, and some of them are quite brief, tight, I should say, and writing a novel? How is that challenge different?
In a novel, you've got 300 pages to get done whatever you have to do. So you can go down tangents and explore side plots. But with a short story, every scene has to be consequential to the end. A short story has to be like, if something were to happen and five sentences were to fall off the page, you should be confused. But with a novel, I mean, have you ever gotten a novel and it was printed funky and like a couple pages were missing? This has happened to me. You're all right. You can make it up. You can figure it out.
Yeah.
But in a short story, if anything is left out, it's going to upset the equilibrium because everything counts.
Is that a limitation or a benefit?
Neither one. It's really just about the way you write. Because some people who are very talented, short, tight piece, the novel confuses them. They say, why do you need all those words? I don't know. I don't get it. So I think it's just different, the way different people vibe on the page. It was hard for me because I'm primarily a novelist.
Novelist, yeah. So then what can these stories be read in? I know that you as an editor ordered them in a specific order, but can they be read in any order?
Well, this is what I love about Short Story Collection. You can pick it up, open it anywhere, and read anywhere in the book. You can read it before bed. Well, I don't know if I read those
before bed. I wouldn't
read
those before bed.
But you can just read like a little piece, like when you're waiting in a waiting room or somewhere, and have a complete experience and put it down and come back to it, but not have that interrupted feeling you have with a novel.
That is Terry Jones, an Atlanta-based writer and editor of the new short story collection, Atlanta Noir. The book hit shelves today. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.